We good, Sean? All right. This morning, as we're sitting in Sunday school, I realized that I probably had two or three sermons wrapped up in this. And Pastor Tim often gives me a hard time after I teach that he'll know what I'm going into, and he says, "You didn't give them the whole picture of the party going on in your head." And I think there's probably two or three parties in there right now trying to figure out where to settle in on this and where to go with this scripture. And Friday, I had the privilege of doing the graveside service for my grandmother that passed away last week. And it was interesting. This is the third grandparent that's passed away, and the third. And I've done all three of the services so far. And after the service, my mom, she came and she talked with me and she said, "Thank you so much for doing this for me. Thank you for sharing what you shared." And she says, "Even though it must have been hard for you." And I paused for a moment and I thought about it. I'm like, "Mom, you know, really, it wasn't as hard as the other grandparents." And I said, and I think that's coming from my understanding of who God is and what Christ has done for us on the cross. And like being able to walk into that situation knowing that from the beginning, God has a plan for us to share everlasting life with Him through His Son Christ. And like, so for me to be able to just settle into that in that service and be like, "You know what? All I've got to offer is the gospel to these people during this time of hurt." And so it's like, but that only comes with a deeper understanding of the Bible. That only comes with understanding more about what His plan here is. And last week we talked about how Jesus in John, John 5, let's turn and we'll read this again, because it's Jesus saying that the Old Testament testifies about Him. So it's not like the Old Testament was, it's not two separate things, but it's, the whole thing is about Him. So John 5. Verse 39, Christ, He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, you will not believe my words." And so we have this Christ, He's sitting there and He's saying, the Old Testament, that testifies about me. And we talked last week about there being types of Christ in the Old Testament and how we talked about Noah and him being a type of Christ, how he's pointing forward to Christ. And a type is, last week I talked about if you'd never seen a farmer before in your life, and there's this little kid in bib overalls and he's running around on a little pedal tractor. And so you don't know what a farmer is. You've never seen it. But there's this little kid, and he's got this little wagon, and he's got hay, and he's running around, and he's doing all these things. But then 30, 40, 50 years down the road, you see this full-grown man on a tractor farming the fields, taking care of the animals. Like, you would know that, well, that is what that there was pointing forward to. Like I said, this little boy is not a farmer. He's not a farmer, but he's pointing forward to what's to come. And the types of Christ in the Old Testament, they're not Christ, but they're preparing the people so that they can have that revelation of who he is when he shows up on the scene. And so we talked about Noah and how he was a type of Christ, and then we also talked about how the ark was a type of Christ. But this week I wanted to take a moment to talk about an event as being a type of Christ, and that's why I chose the Red Sea and how that was. And so just to set the stage for what's going on here is the Israelites, they've been in Egypt for 430 years. And God calls Moses. He says, take my people out of Egypt. But that isn't without some controversy and some problems with Pharaoh. And so God sends these 10 plagues to Egypt. And it gets to the point where that 10th plague is finally it does it. And Pharaoh's like, get out of here. Get out of here. And so we see them. We see the Exodus. We see them. We see the Israelites leaving Egypt. And then the Passover is instituted during that time. And then God leads his people. It's not the short way. He leads them through the wilderness down to this crossing at the Red Sea by pillar of cloud and fire. And then he gets them down there and he backs them in. And then next thing you know, they've got the Red Sea on one side, and they've got Pharaoh's army coming on the other side. And, so that's the question. You know, how do we look at the crossing of the Red Sea as a type of Christ? And the other night I was reading to the kids Exodus. I was reading through this just so I keep getting myself familiar with it. And I read through this account, and I asked the kids, I'm like, What does this story reveal to us? And Aiden, he pipes up. And what's Aiden say? So he says, the Red Sea, this path that God creates for us to go through, is the only way. And Christ is the only way for us to have everlasting life. And I was like, man, Aiden, thank you so much for just like struggling. Man, is this enough for Sunday morning? And he's like, nah, this little guy, he's like, man, they're backed up, and there, God provides one way for them out. And last week, I read John 14:6, and I won't read everything this morning, but just the one verse. And it's Christ. As Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we have said there, their backs are up against the wall. They've got this army coming up against them. And the only way for them to have everlasting life is through the way that God provides them. And that is one single path right through the middle of the sea. And then flip back a few chapters to John 3:16. And this verse, it's everywhere. I mean, you'll see it at football games, baseball games. You'll see it driving down the freeway, wrote in the dust on the back of a semi. But I think the part of our problem is that we don't read everything going on here. And I think we just hear, for God so loved the world. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So it's like, here we have again, it's like, we're just hammering home that Christ is the only way for us to have everlasting life. And so we see that in this, see this in the account here. And what's beautiful is like, even if we start at Genesis, like we'll just see God repeating this pattern over and over and over for us. Just for those people to know that like, God's in control. He has a way. And there's only one way. And we see that time after time after time again. Because like, the Passover, we could have done, Pastor Tim probably could have done a couple sermons on how that's a type of Christ. But, you know, like, this wasn't that long after They were just delivered out. They were just sent out. And like they have, but then God just reminds them again, I am the way. I will provide you for a way. And, you know, so, but what does this story tell us today? How does it help us today as the church? How does it help us out now? And I think we, and there's some real comfort there that God is patient enough to keep reminding us that He is in control, that He will take care of us, and that He does provide a way for us. But just thinking, lose my way here for a second. So He does this, but and it's not up to us. In verse 14 in Exodus there says, the Lord will fight for you and you only have to be silent. Like, it's not about us and it's His work that He's doing. But what else does the story tell us? How else is it an encouragement to the church? How else is it an encouragement to us as believers? And honestly, I think that this message spits in the face of the prosperity gospel that's being preached in so many churches today. And I've got friends that they just eat it up. They just love it. They're like, man, if I just believe in Christ, everything's going to be smooth sailing from here. Like, everything in my life is going to be in line. I'm no longer going to struggle with pornography. I'm no longer going to struggle with heroin. I'm no longer going to struggle with any of these temptations in the world. But what we got here is God, He's reminding us that, no, just because I delivered you out of slavery, you will still have opposition in this world. You will still see these problems. So they weren't that long. They hadn't been released from Pharaoh's hand that long. But the next thing you know, Pharaoh realizes, what just happened? I just let go of my free labor force. And so I'm going to pursue him, and I'm going to chase him, and I'm going to bring him back. But like, so this is like, this is God just showing us that, hey, just because we've been, our account's been wiped clean, just because we are free from sin, that's not to say that Satan's not going to come for us now. But in the beauty of the Old Testament, we see God saying, you know what? This is mine. I'm in control. You just have to be silent and be faithful and let me do the work. And what's interesting is, you know, like the prosperity gospel and like everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Well, why is so much of the New Testament letters talk about trials and tribulation and everything? I mean, these guys, like, why? And, you know, I think for starters, just start 1 Peter, and then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we'll start there. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And if we turn back just a few pages to the beginning of James, and you know, it's James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so we have the New Testament writers just reiterating what God shows us in the crossing of the Red Sea. That, like, you know what? Just because you put your trust and your faith in me, you will meet opposition. But by standing fast, by going through these trials, we will come out on the other side. Because, like the Israelites, he does provide us a way. And So the trials that the Israelites faced were an opportunity for them to come to an unwavering dependence on God and allow him to show them that he was the way for them to be delivered from slavery. Today, are we willing to embrace what we have in Christ and go through that crucible of trials so that our understanding of the dependence of him will be increased? Today, the culture that we live in continually will tell us that this is just a bunch of random stories, just all compiled over time, and that there is no truth in it. That it's, like I said, it's just stories. But as we take the time to study and know the Word of God, that we can see that it's not just a bunch of random stories, but it is a writings put together with one central theme, and that is Christ. It shows us that God's people are in need of a Savior, that we can't do it on our own, and that one way is through Christ Jesus. And, you know, I don't, like for me this last week, growing in my knowledge of the Word of God helped me in that funeral for my grandma. Like, I don't know where everybody else is at. You know, I like to pick on John because I spend a bunch of time with him, but like his knowledge of the Word of God helps him on the Bible bus when he's teaching these kids that are coming from all sorts of life. Like his understanding, his knowledge, his understanding that like from beginning to end, this is about Christ helps him. It helps us as fathers to train up our kids so that they know when the culture says, this is just a bunch of stories written. You're like, no, they're from beginning to end, it is about one thing, and it is about Christ and what he did on the cross for us. We can just keep continually pointing, like, it is, it's about him. And my hope is that as this body of believers, that we will continue to be serious about studying the Word of God. And I pray that as we study it, that we will continue to see that progressive revelation of Christ in the Old Testament, and that it solidifies our need for a Savior, that we are dependent on God for the one way to have eternal life. For the unbeliever, I hope that you will take another look at the Scriptures and see that all of the Bible points to Christ, and that you cannot do it alone. But the good news is that God can and has provided one way for you to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, pray. Heavenly Father, just come to you this morning and just continue to thank you for your word, and that it is not just a bunch of random stories, but they are put together so that we can come to a stronger understanding of who you are and what your plan was, that Christ wasn't an afterthought, but that he was there in the beginning and he is a part of that story from beginning to end. And I just thank you for that, and I just pray that all of us here this morning will just come to want a stronger thirst and knowledge for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.